Father God, we just give you praise and honor and glory. We esteem and we extol, we exalt your holy name because you are good and your mercy endureth to all generations. Father, we pray that you will sanctify and consecrate this time unto yourself. Father, I submit myself unto you. I submit myself to you, Lord God. I pray that I will be an oracle of you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through my mind and through my mouth. Allow me, Lord God, to perceive and discern your will and your way right now. Father, I pray a blessing upon your people today. Father, I pray that you expand their tent stakes, expand their horizons, and lengthen their cords. Enable them to boldly go where they've never gone before in Christ Jesus today. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We magnify you for the work you continue to do to us and through us and for us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So in Bible study, after we were concluding, Vivian had something that came to her because her eyes was big as saucers. And so I'm going to let her share her little stuff, and then I'll get involved with some of the teaching.
Okay, so we know that Pastor Norman was talking about the 7 years. You know, we were looking at the teaching that we were doing on Tuesday and what we've been studying. And so during Bible study, I was sitting here and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and said, you need to look at what happened with your life with the whole 7 years. You know, it's supposed to be 7 years of, you know, the land and what the different things we've been studying. Correct. So pretty much all of you know what that was all about. So I began to look at what had happened in my life leading up to 2021. And so my major transition from just being in church into going from religion to relationship with God began in 1986, when I went from the church I had grown up in and been a part of, and I transferred over. I moved my membership and became part of another fellowship where at that point I began my actual understanding that I have a relationship with God, not just going into worship and seeing him as, you know, big Santa Claus in the sky. You know that foolishness we had going on. And so 1986 was when that started. And that was my transition from religion to relationship with God. And so I added 7 years on to that 1986. That was 1993. If I'm doing my math right, 1993 is when I married Norman Brown, and that marriage, that was a transition of lifestyle for me. So first, it began in 1986, where I the transition from religion to relationship. 7 years later, I had transition of lifestyle, which also enhanced them and made a change in my relationship with God, because I was no longer a single woman. I was a married woman, and that changes your relationship automatically with God, because there's other aspects of life that you begin to address. So then I added 7 years to the 1993. Well, in 2000, that's when we transitioned from the church we were a part of, that was here in the city, and we end up going into another ministry. And so that was transition to ministry for me. Well, I'm like, so, okay, let me add another seven. So in 2007, the transition of purpose in ministry began. Because at this point, you know, J.J. is already in existence, and that was the whole focus and what we're doing. If I'm not mistaken, that was the moment that we became a seed planted in that the 43205 zip code. So then I added another 7 years, and that was 2014. And that's when we transitioned to being landowners from being nomads. You know, we were going from place to place and different places. We're in the house and then over Rock of Faith and different. But in 2014, we transitioned and we became planted in our own space. Then I added another seven That brings us up to now, where we know there's transition happening again mm-hmm. in how God wants us to work with the community. So we're transitioning to rest for the community, with all the chaos and the turmoil and the crises that are going on in the 43205 zip code. In 2021, now we're experiencing the transition to rest for the community and our being the tip of the spear and being used to impede the darkness and to do away with the darkness. And we're doing Perez. I don't know if some of you may have done the teaching. Remember the teaching that Pastor Norman did about Perez. We are breaking through the darkness. We're going in and occupying and being the ecclesia and doing all that he has called us to do in that area. So in rec, I was really astonished because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see where the progress has happened. Every 7 years, there's been a change. So for all of you, I'm not saying it's going to be like that for everyone. This is just what happened for me. But if sometimes we want to know, what's going on? Are we effective in what we're doing? Are we really growing in the Lord, or what's happening? If you remember the year that you became part of JJR Ministries, for most of us, we know that was a major change in your ministry, in your worship life, and in your service, and coming into understanding who God is. So I'm not saying it's going to work the same way for you, but if you're trying to do a review, you want to find out where you are, and you can actually see on paper how your life has transitioned every 7 years with the Lord, I would encourage you to give it check it out, see what you get.
Let us go to Joshua chapter number 1, please. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. I'm going to be reading verses 12, 13, and 15. To set the stage, Moses is dead, and now Joshua is larger than charge. And Yahweh tells him to be strong of good courage, and he tells him that in Mardessa 3 times. And now there's a great transition that's about to take place, not only in Joshua, but the nation of Israel. They're about to become landowners. When we studied a year ago, the book of Hebrews, we studied how Yahweh established his son Yeshua to be the great high priest. And we read, Helen, that because of Israel's disobedience and rebellion and not listening to the word of the Lord, as a result, Yahweh said they will never enter into my rest. God's rest is promised land. And I said to us, we need to see our life being developed in 3 different phases. You're in bondage in Egypt, and Pharaoh's your taskmaster. Then you cross a body of water. We call that water baptism. And so you cross over a body of water and you be immersed into the death of Christ. But then the journey doesn't stop then. Then you're on this journey during the wilderness and you ride all the rides in hell. However, Yahweh is with you all the time. And he is more prone to fight your battles while you're on the wilderness experience, to let you know that I'm with you, but I'm going to make sure you get fed manna from heaven and you'll have water to take care of your thirsty soul. And so Yahweh is more obligated to take care of you in the second phase of your development in as a Christ follower. Then there's another body of water that happens. And so before you enter to the rest, there's another body of water called the Jordan River. So I said to you guys in Bible study, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, Yahweh had the wind, the east wind, open up and part the sea and cause the land that was wet to be dry, and then they walked over. However, for the Jordan River, they had to step out in faith first. Then the waters parted. In the first body, Yahweh made a way. Then they walked. But on this next transition, he says, you need to activate your faith and believe that I'm going to bring you into your Sabbath rest, my Sabbath rest, to the promised land. So initially, you must, Eric, take the first step, believing and trusting that I am more than enough. And so when we read Joshua chapter number 1, verse 12, 13, and 15, it says, but to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribes of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God has given you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord God has given them. After that, you may go back and occupy your land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So the point I want us to see before we start jumping in the pool, what's important for us to understand, that the children of Israel had arrived at the east side of the River Jordan, and it was about to cross over. But we need, when we read the scriptures, I wanted to take note that we read the word rest two times. And I pointed out in Bible study. And so it says that this giving of the promised land by the Lord is to his people, which is a sign of their promised rest. So the promised land and the promised rest are both one and the same. So I want us to understand what is going on here. We taught you guys for years about grace. And when we have learned in elementary school, we learned it was unearned favor. But we have a robust understanding of God's grace. We're not in elementary school anymore. We said in the Greek culture, grace was like this, was Greek mythology, the dancing of the three graces. We told you that they were these three sisters in Greek mythology. They were holding hands and they're like doing ring around the rosy. Each sister was name of grace. So you have a benefactor. And a benefactor decides, Brother Eric, that he wants to bless somebody. So the first aspect of grace is the giving. The second aspect of grace is the gift. And then when the benefactor blesses Fred Flintstone or Barney Rubble or Pebbles or Bam Bam, their response to the gift is gratitude, which is the third aspect of grace. So grace is giving, the gift, and great attitude or gratitude. In the kingdom of God, once you have received God's grace, then it becomes transformative to where he says to Eric Franklin, now I want you to operate in my grace, where you become the benefactor. And then you give the gift, where you give, and then you give. Bear with me, saints. As a result of the transitioning, where Eric functions as the benefactor, he has an impact upon somebody and he blesses them. And that's what God does with us. That's the same mentality and the same process that God is saying to us as Jay Jira. He does not care about how many people are in this house. He has given us a mandate. I've given you authority in this particular domain, the 43205 zip code. And he expects us as a community of Christ followers to function as salt and light. So, as God has blessed us to come into his rest, that rest, Terry, becomes transformative, where he says, I want you who mm-hmm. have become into my rest. Mm-hmm. I want to use you to bring my rest to the 05 zip code. That's what we're talking about. But we need to understand, how does this happen? And so we share with you with a Hebrew word called S-H-E-M-I-T-A. S-H-E-M-I-T-A. Shemitah. This is rest for the land. We already know there's darkness in the city. We already know there's darkness in the land. But we have been called to be light. Mm-hmm. The same type of light that will rule the night season in a couple of hours. Mm. We are supposed to be like the full moon that has no glory, but a mere reflection of the S-O-N or the S-U-N. Mm. And we know by the laws of nature, Terry, that when there's a full moon, it has an impact upon the earth. Mm-hmm. God is saying the same thing to Jay Jira. I want you to come into my rest so that you can bring rest into the 05 zip code. And so every 7 years, the Jewish people, still to this day, they operate in this aspect of rest, where this is a sabbatical year of every 7 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not say this before, but I'm going to make this point. This process is documented in the mitzvah. The mitzvah are the commandments that Israel has. There are 613 Ooh. Commandments. That is called the mitzvah of the Torah. The mitzvah of the Torah. So I gave you guys the key takeaways, how land was entitled to come into his rest based upon the Torah commandments. I said another key takeaway was that Israel's disobedience of the Torah does not allow the land to come into its rest, and they were going to be punished by Yahweh by not allowing the land to come into its rest, and he was going to exile them. And I said to you guys, the Leviticus 26 is very similar to Romans chapter number 8, where Romans chapter number 8 talks about how that the land or creation was put in bondage, and how creation or the cosmos is waiting to be delivered. By Jesus? No. By Yeshua? No. By Yahweh? No. The sons of God is to bring deliverance to all of creation. The sons of God, that's mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. Christ liberates us from the bondage of sin. But all of creation, Sonia, is waiting to be liberated from its bondage. But we're being transitioned that we can release the bondage off of creation. This is huge. So I said to you that on Bible study, that there are four commandments that we need to understand regarding this Shemitah. The first commandment is the land should come into rest according to the Torah. That 43205 zip code must come into his rest according to the Torah. And the reason why it hasn't, Sharon, is because we had a bunch of churches. We don't have embassies. We got a lot of Christians, but we don't have Christ followers. We are part of the ecclesia. We taught y'all the ecclesia in Greek culture. They were a governmental group of people that legislated the moral laws for the entire community. They were just a remnant. It was a handful of people. But Norm, what does that look like today? We call that community city council. A handful of people that governs and legislates the laws for entire community. That's what God is calling us to do. We're in the 05 zip code. And if we don't do that, we will be held accountable. And we, Sister Terry, will be put in exile. every 7 years, second commandment. They were supposed to receive the Shemitah, where anyone that was in bondage was made free. They were liberated from the bondage every 7 years. The third commandment, there was a cancellation of debt. Cancellation of debt. The fourth commandment, every 7 years, there's supposed to be a sanctification process where people who've been consumed, people who are being consumed, they become consumers. There's a shifting that's going on. And he has not blessed us just because we're cute. He has blessed us so that we may be a blessing. To who? The 43205 zip code. But Norm, there's only a handful of us. Yeah. But we are the tip of the spear. We're commissioning other parts of the body to come and to participate in this kingdom work. So when I keep telling you about the housing program and the food distribution, all the things we've been doing, all the things we've been doing for the last 10 years in this community, God has said, I've given you my favor. And when we read Genesis chapter number 1, let's go there. Genesis chapter number 1. Then I'm going to get into the teaching. I'm just laying foundation again. This is the creation narrative. We know this. But when we look at Genesis 1, verse 26, we've all read this before. Genesis 1, verse 26. In the NIV, then the Lord said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that are among the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Man and female, he created them. God had blessed them and said, this is their vocation. This is their vocation. Be fruitful. Increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule or have dominion. Over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing seed in it. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that the fruit has with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the air, and it goes on. So what he does is he gives us provision for the vision. He gives you vision first, Helen. Then he says, I need to give you provision for the vision. So what has he been doing? He's been telling us to do these crazy things in the 05 zip code. And we have been crazy enough to do it, and we've been seeing God show up.
Amen.
He has been telling us, what is the vision of this community? Lord says to us, Sister Wall, she's like the woman with the issue of blood. For over 50 years, when the federal government, through President Eisenhower, he had commissioned that the federal government would build infrastructure. That came through this community over there, just like other African-American communities. And that community nosedive. Mm-hmm. And she has been in bondage ever since the early 60s. How I know that? Because I was playing in the dirt when they tore the houses down and when they were building the freeway. So I know what I'm talking about. So she was put in bondage ever since then. And then the government tries to put in programs that do not work. But the community to be delivered needs what? Sons of God. But they got to be transitioned. Are you hearing? Mm-hmm. They're being transitioned where they have to understand who they are as the ecclesia.
Come on now.
Not as Christians, but as Christ followers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That they're not part of the church. They're part of a government that's supposed to govern and to rule and to reign. And then once they embrace who their identity is in Christ, then God says, now, it's time for you to take the peace and the rest that I've given you. Now you use that and be a blessing to that community so she can be delivered. And I'm going to give you every seed and every fruit-bearing seed to give you food to eat because his name is Jehovah Jireh. Wow. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen. This thing has been so set up in breadcrumb, we cannot fail. And we have brothers and sisters say, Norm, the numbers don't make sense. I mean, this don't make sense. The numbers just don't add up. All you guys is doing, and you got a handful of people, and you can see that crime has gone down over 40%. Health and wellness is being coming to the community. How can this be? It's only by God's grace. So now, let me make a statement, make sure this is correct. Because, you know, I'm really into numbers and statistics. Vivian has shared with us about every 7 years she has seen God done something in her life. So this 7 year sabbatical from my Jewish brothers and sisters has been going on since antiquity. The last time this celebration happened, Sister Sonia, was in September of 2014. The last year that this sabbatical had taken place in the earth was in September 2017. When is the next time the sabbatical is supposed to happen, folks? September of 2021. So it makes sense, Sharon, why God has been getting us ready. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither entered to the heart of man what God's getting ready to do. Through you, Jay Jireh.
September
2014. Yeah, it's
14. 2014. I said it wrong, but y'all know what I'm 2014 was the last time this yearly sabbatical, 7 year sabbatical was established. The next time it happens will be in September 2021.
Like it's September 7th, to be exact.
Yeah, the administrator kicking in.
September the 7th.
I believe that's correct.
And the only reason why we're doing this teaching because she started reading her Bible. And the Lord said, help them understand everything is coming in alignment. Everything is coming in alignment.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For years, I've been saying, Lord, we need more people. And he said, no, not quite. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. You know, there might be some other folk who might want to play. There might be some people who might want to play.
God had to get them ready. Thank you.
But he had to get them ready so they can come to the party. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. But in order for this to be successful, Sister Campbell, the Jewish people had to relinquish the ownership so that the land can be, because it's all about the land. It's not about the people. We in church, we always focus about ourselves, me, myself, and I, us four no more. My ministry, my calling. It's always looking about myself. But this is a community work. Today we know Israel is passionate about the land because Yahweh has promised them land. And they will fight tooth and nail anybody who tried to take away their land. But for you, Jay Jireh, God has said, I've given you land as well. Now, you may not know all of Eric's cousins, but that's okay.
Oh, jeez.
But I've still given you the authority to function as a priest in the 05 zip code. But through this evangelism piece, through this colonization, you will get to meet Eric's cousins. You will meet Sonia's cousins. You will meet the people who look like, but guess what? They're not all going to look like us. And he's bringing other parts of the body to participate in his work.
Thank you.
That's why Vista's showing up. That's why Rock City's showing up. That's why Central College Presbyterian Church, where their own members say, we can't have a meeting, we can't do anything until we have a meeting. That's what they say about themselves. This is an agricultural terminology. What we need to understand, the Lord is trying to help us realize that we have to die first. But any seed that dies, life gets produced in it. But what is the seed tied to, though? In order for it to be sustained, oh, y'all ain't hearing me. It has to be connected to the soil. Because if you take a fish out of water, it's going to die. You take a plant out of the ground, it's going to die. You disconnect man from God, he going to die. And the scripture tells us, Brother Sharon, we have eternity that dwells in the side of us. Sister, I'm sorry. Got a little caught up there.
Thank you.
The seed dwells inside of us. And when we die, life gets birthed out of us. Why? So we can multiply. That was the command. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. I will never grow corn. Why? Because if I plant a kernel of corn, I'm going to get a whole bunch of stalks, ears of corn on one stalk. No, Vivian getting all hyped up, y'all. No, no. That's a whole lot of maintenance going on.
It sure is.
And if I plant one ear, I'm going to have a whole orchard. That's a whole lot of labor. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? He has put eternity. Peter called it the incorruptible seed inside of us.
Thank you, Lord.
And the expectation is just like the seed died before, he wants it to die again. And when we did the teaching about honor and shame, he wants us to be martyrs because we are not afraid of death. Because through death, there is a resurrection. Come on now. Through death, there is a glorification. Death has no power. She has no sting. So we're not going to be afraid.
Thank you.
We're going to be in faith. The opposite of faith is fear. The opposite of fear is faith. And we're a community of faith.
Amen.
The land has been degraded far enough. For ever since the early 1960s, around 63 and 64, is when they started tearing stuff down and building I-70 and I-70. The land has been degraded long enough. Where is the justice in that? Micah 6:8. Love mercy. Do justly. Love mercy and walk humble before your God. That's how you worship your God. Do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly before. The community has been degraded long enough. But the 7-year cycle is on its way. Ah, hear me now. The 7-year cycle is on its way. And guess what? It's no coincidence that we have 7 churches Seven colors of the rainbow. We find that there's seven heavens, according to Hebrew scripture. All these sevens, the seven spirits of God. All y'all ain't hearing me?
Come on.
All these sevens is tying in together.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But we, Jay Jira, we're under the banner of the violet color of Jehovah Jireh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bring provision through us to be a blessing to the work of the kingdom. We taught y'all, when you operate in first fruits, tithes, and offerings, which is biblical, it eliminates debt. It's the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. And I put me and my family out there, and I said to you guys, God, we have been operating this system for years. And because it eliminates debt, that's why cars have been paid off. We don't have no mortgage. Even the houses that we have in the 05 zip code, they don't have no mortgage. We pay cash. Not to brag, but because the system works.
Look at God. Amen.
Amen.
Thereby, it frees us up so we can give to something else for the kingdom. So she and the O5 can be liberated from spiritual slavery. So she can be delivered from spiritual slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of my notes now. I hear Holy Spirit's taking me somewhere else. So bear with me. Part of my dissertation, I did a lot of reading where I had to do some research and look up a particular scholar. And I told you guys that the work I did my dissertation is the work that we're doing in the 05 zip code.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across this brother named James Kahn, C-O-A-N. He was really heavy into what is called the Black Church, liberation theology.
Right.
The premise of his writings that he strongly argued about was, that really caught my attention, Helen. Now, if you are an African-American people, you know that the history of your people has been in slavery, right? But if you're a Black church in a marginalized community, you would already be very familiar because of your ancestry with oppression and poverty. You would know that very well. So why not God be able to use you to address oppression and poverty? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. If your ancestors is very familiar with oppression and poverty, and you're worshiping as a community of color, and you're worshiping in a community that's marginalized, why shouldn't God use you, who has a passion for the oppressed? He has a passion for the poor. He has a passion for those who are in poverty. Why should he not use you to be a liberator of those who are in oppression and in poverty? And if you don't do that, you are not faithful to your identity of your citizenship. Oh, I'm telling you. He would say you're not being faithful to your identity as a citizen in the earth, as an African American, and you're not being faithful to your identity as a kingdom citizen as well.
You did say James Cohn, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep, I'm reading another book of his right now.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So my brother is verifying what I'm saying to you. This is huge. Mm-hmm. And Sonia, I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, is that what you're calling us to, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we came there, hell no, when we came there, there were 28 churches in three blocks wide and eight blocks long. And I know there were 28 decibels because what? I visit all of them. I visit all of them. And I said, hey, this is who I am. Let's come together, Brother Eric, and let's do some kingdom work. And they said, no, I'm good.
Mm.
I'm good.
All four and no more.
It's us four no more. I said, okay, Lord, we'll do the work, but you know we ain't got but a handful of people. And then Sharon would say, Pastor, we need some more bodies. Vivi would come to me, baby, we need some young bodies.
Amen.
Sharon said, amen.
Amen.
But the narrative is changing now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Because rest is coming, saints. The narrative is changing. Because rest is coming. But Terry, it's coming through J. Jira Ministries Church. We're being the tip on the spear. I'm not saying that we're holy and righteous. We need to understand who we are in Christ.
There you go.
What is our assignment? You know, J. Jira, when we get done and we're going to close up our time of worship, I ask y'all two questions. I ask, who are you? What is the purpose? We are the ecclesia, the called out one. You know, we're developing brick and mortar in order to develop flesh. What is your purpose? What is your creed? And you declare what your purpose is and what your creed is every week. Every week you declare who you are in Christ.
Thank you, Father.
And now that you embrace who you are, God says, I have to bring honor. Oh, y'all ain't hear me. If you're willing to be a slave and to die, then I will bring honor. Amen. See how he's tying all together?
Mm-hmm.
We study Hebrews for about 10 months. Book of Hebrews. We talk about honor, shame and honor. How Paul sees it as an awesome display of God's power. And John sees it as the means of the cross being something that's glorious. It's an honorable thing. The cross, are you kidding me? But if you understand the process, Eric, you can count it all joy when you're going through various trials and tribulations, if you understand the process. Because whatever he breaks, he will resurrect.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he marginalizes, he will empower and equip. That's how his kingdom operates.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the
Thank
evening
you,
and the morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Every day in the book. I'm not even in my notes. I'm just hearing the Holy Spirit. Every day in creation for 6 days, it was concluded evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. David got the revelation. Yes, yes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
Joy is coming, J. Jira.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't for us.
Amen.
Joy is coming. Come on, Sister Wall. But it ain't for us. Come. It's for the 432050. Mm-hmm. That's why we've been praying for her. And we don't know Eric's cousins at all. But we're praying for Eric's cousins.
Amen.
Lord bless them. Keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them out of the bondage. Of the slavery of sin. Liberate them. This is our prayer. Isaiah 40. He's going to honor Campbell. Why? Because of us? Nope. Because his word is being declared. His word, we're a prophetic voice. We're a prophetic presence of Jesus Christ. Why? To enforce the rule and reign of God. In a 432050. Oh, y'all got to hear what I'm saying to you. We have been taught for years, in order to be effective, you got to be a mega. And God has said to us, no, according to my word, if you're a nation, if you got 10 people. We saw that. We discovered that. We read in the scripture. In his eyes, if you got 10 people, you're a nation. Even though Jacob had 12 sons, Yahweh said, that's the nation. It's all I need. It's all I need. It's the nation. This is huge.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm going to shut up. Comments, questions, issues, behaviors, what do I need to address? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Pastor, can you give us those four commandments?
Yes, ma'am.
Because that's getting mixed up with the
okay.
Thing. Okay.
I'll give you the takeaways. There are three takeaways and there are four commandments. Okay. All right. The three takeaways from Isaiah. The land was entitled to a Sabbath rest as part of the Torah commandments, which I refer to as the mitzvah. That's one takeaway. If Israel disobeyed the Torah and does not allow the land to rest, she was going to be punished and put in exile.
Wow.
That's another takeaway. Mm. Romans 8 is very similar to Leviticus 26. That creation is waiting to be delivered. The land wants to be delivered from its bondage. That's the third takeaway. This 7-year sabbatical, the 7-year four commandments. The first commandment is the land must come into her rest. Mm-hmm. Which meant agriculturally there is no pruning, planting, or plowing agriculturally. The second commandment, that every 7 years, there's supposed, all those who were in debt were supposed to be made free. There is a switch of own. If you were ownerless, you can become a landowner, which ties into the third commandment. All debts were canceled. That made sure that you didn't have generational poverty. Mm. So Terry may be in debt for me for 7 years. But after the 7 years, she was entitled to get her land back. Fourth commandment. These 7 years was years of sanctification. And where people who were consumers, people who were being consumed, they become consumers.
Okay, before you said the produce of the land is not to be wasted. That's what you said before. So read that again, the fourth one again, please.
Okay, the fourth one is this commandment. The fourth commandment is to be a process of sanctification. If done properly, it would bring respect. And those people who are being consumed, they become consumers. And this was a way of doing business in the Jewish culture. Keep as a side note, remember in the Jewish culture, if Terry gave me money, if she loaned me money, the Bible says she could not charge me interest, as better known as usury. If I needed some money and Terry had the means to help me, she was obligated to help me as a member of the family. Mm-hmm. But she could not charge me interest by trying to put me in debt. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's y'all's Bible talking. Mm. So if Terry wants to bless me to help me, and God has blessed her, then she needs to bless me. But the word says if she blesses me, then God will bless her. Did I help you, Sharon?
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else? Comments, questions, issues, behaviors?
What was the number three again?
Number three and what?
The three
commandments or the takeaways?
Yeah.
The three takeaways. What's the third takeaway again?
The third takeaway is Romans 8 is similar to Leviticus 26.
That was the third one?
That's the third one.
What was the second one?
The second one is Israel. If Israel disobeyed the Torah and did not allow the land to come into his rest,
okay,
then God was going to punish her and cause her to be put in exile. I mean, that's huge. We don't get that in church. You only get that in kingdom. So land is important to the Lord. So we got some new people. All those who've been around, do not answer this question.
I know.
So who was the apostle that Jesus came to before he died? I repeat, who was the apostle that Jesus came to before he died? It cannot be Paul because that was after he died. And I'm getting the answer that I always get, nothing. So when Jesus was on trial, he came to an apostle. He was better known as Pilate the governor. Pilate was an ambassador of the king, Caesar. And all the authority and all the power that the king had, he gave it to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was to represent Caesar. However, Pontius Pilate was given a domain. He was given territory as his means of authority. And whatever Pontius Pilate decided to do, all the power and authority of Rome backed him up. You got to hear what I'm saying. You got to hear what I'm saying. J. Jira Ministries Church, where we're located, is not a church. It's an embassy filled with ambassadors. And these ambassadors represent the king. And all the authority and the power that's been given to these ambassadors is being backed up by the king. But their influence is a domain called the 43205 zip code. Wow. How is that being verified? How are we walking as an embassy? Remember, only laws of the kingdom are applied on the embassy. All outside laws do not adhere inside of the embassy. Embassies are being governed by foreigners who are not part of that land. And the Bible tells us that we're foreigners in the land because our citizenship is in the heavenlies. So, for those who are fairly new, our community was severely impacted by COVID-19. We found out that our people in our zip code could not pay for their rent and could not pay for their mortgage. So as an ambassador of the king, based upon the authority that he has given us, I went to another ecclesia that we call city council. And I said to them, I need you to give me $40,000 of your money and put it in my hands and the people of our ministry so that we can be a blessing to the people in my community. Not only did they say yes, but they said, Pastor Brown, can you touch the 4320? Can you push 03 as 5 as 05? We said, I only care about 05. They said, no, we need you to level 03 as well. Are y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Terry and Sharon did the work. And everyone got blessed. It went so well that other faith-based nonprofits and other churches heard we are doing because we can only spend the money in the 03 and 05. But we had a family in Groveport. We had a family in Westerville. And we could not help them But because if someone said, we want to join in on what you're doing, we want to give to you so you continue to bless other people, so those families in Westerville and the family in Groveport, we bless them.
Amen.
That's effective stewardship. That's kingdom authority.
Amen.
But we only got a handful of people, though, Lord. We're not a mega.
We're a nation.
Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? And he is saying to us, I'm switching some stuff up now. Because rest is coming to the land.
Amen.
I'm switching some stuff up now. Where I bless you, now your grace, your transformation of grace, where you can be a means of grace to Fred and Barney and Pebbles and Bam Bam and Eric Franklin's cousins as well.
Jesus, you don't stop.
This is huge. But we're not doing it by ourselves. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's the other bodies that are coming as well.
Thank you.
Where every joint supply. I thought I read somewhere, Desi. Where every joint supply. You need to know those who labor among you. I thought I read that somewhere, Desi. Black and white, old and young, rich and poor, urban and suburban, we're all coming together in the unity of faith. Come on, Sister Wall, and in the unity of the Spirit. Anyone else before I conclude tonight? Any issues I need to resolve? Any questions I need to answer? This is where we're going, saints. This is where we're going. We're all good? All right, when you get your books, read them. Let me know when you're done. And then we'll have a robust discussion. Father, we thank you for this time. For revelation. Helping us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and an understanding mind. That your kingdom has come and it is still coming. And as you continue to do a work to us and through us and for us, you causing us, oh God, to become salt, a preserving agent, and light to dispel darkness.
Thank you.
What a privilege. What an honor that is, Lord.
Thank you.
Words cannot describe our gratitude. But tonight, Lord, we say we give thanks with a grateful heart.
Yes.
Father, this is our prayer. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. So be it. Amen.
Amen.
Before we dismiss you, I want to encourage you again. Go to the table in your own homes.